you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday. I have to look at the calendar here, Jason. March 21st. We're marching just along. Spring got launched yesterday, 2018. But let me begin reading from Psalm 33, Jason, as I was perusing through the Psalms, just reading different ones and flipping pages. And I came across this, and it just seemed like it might be a good passage for us all to hear this morning. It begins Psalm 33, verse 1. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him with the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Now, let me continue just a few more. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be, he commanded and it stood firm. I guess it's a little striking or unique or special for me because as we've been planning the Creation Museum and the Ark experience, I mean, here's kind of a passage, you know, the Lord breathed out of his mouth and the waters into the jars and, you know, just kind of his creation. It refers back to, yeah, I mean, it goes on like the plants and the nations and different things, but let all the people of the world revere him and just the power that he has and the fact that, you know, this creation that we live in was a creation of God. It was something that he thought through, planned it out, and, you know, allowed us to live on this earth. And he has an eternal purpose for us, but the uniqueness of this planet Earth and how we'll in a few months be at the Creation Museum kind of recounting the biblical narrative on how in those 6 days he put the whole planet and universe into place. So, I don't know, exciting passage. All these Psalms, many times you can read them and find points of application or conviction. There was a number that I was going through and they were crying out for mercy or, you know, do this to my enemies or help me, Lord, as I cry out and seek after you. And then just some that are just worshipful and God-honoring. So, yeah, let's camp out a little today, maybe in the Psalms, everyone, and see what God would reveal to you about himself.
Yeah, well, and what you would also, I think, reveal about us, you know, because the Psalm says that we're to rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And so the expectation of God is not that Christians are dour. It's not that Christians are ultra serious.
Yeah.
We should be known as the most joyful of people, the most hopeful of people. I mean, the world is, from a biblical sense, the hopeless place. I mean, the world fallen and far from what God intended it to be. But as Christians, we're supposed to be people who are known for our joy, and not only known for our joy, but this is really interesting when you read the beginning of this that you shared, is that we're to be known for our singing. You know, we're to be known for our skill in making, creating and praising songs to the Lord.
Yeah.
And it even says play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. And so it's as if God takes every gift that we have, you know, those people who may be listening who are piano players or guitar players, and maybe you play the flute or the cello or whatever, that your ability to move your fingers that way and your ability to find those notes on the fretboard or the keyboard is a gift of God specifically for the joyful praise of his name.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is really fascinating because I do run into a lot of Christians who are not joyful,
yeah,
and who, in a way, seem at times to be very hopeless. And I love how First Peter tells us that we are to hope fully in the Lord Jesus Christ, not hopefully, like hopefully things will be okay, hopefully it'll be better tomorrow, hopefully one day it'll all come back together. No, we're the people who hope fully in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
And so we hope in something that is that is otherworldly, that transcends this world. And we hope in a way that raises our hearts and our affections and our perspective. And it's meant to be the catalyst to help do that for other people.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, we should walk in the room and kind of the room should lift up, because we come into the room praising God, even in difficult situations. I was reading in Romans 12 the other day, where it says that we weep with those who weep and we rejoice with those who rejoice. Meaning that even in the midst of weeping, we rejoice because God is at work.
Yeah.
We rejoice that when people pass away or die, that God is the one who ultimately shepherded them into heaven. You know, Jude chapter 1 and verse 24 says, to present you blameless and with great joy in his glorious presence. And so whatever it is that we're going through, we don't go through it alone. Yeah. And therefore, every situation has something that is praiseworthy. That's why Paul says, whatever is praiseworthy. Think about these things. Because when he says whatever, means that whatever, wherever, there is something to praise. But I think that John chapter 1 is really instructive for us here, because John chapter 1 says that men love darkness, that there's something about us that gets bent towards not being joyful, that gets bent towards listening to blues music instead of praising, and as the psalmist says here, on the harp and the lyre, making a melody with the harp of 10 strings. And I love this in verse 3. It says, sing to him a new song. Sing to him a new song. Now, maybe some people might read that and say, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that we need to write God new songs? No, I think that what it means is that every day you wake up with a fresh awareness of why you should rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
That every day your song seems absolutely new, not because it's a different melody or a different lyrics or a different tune per se, but it's because you have a freshness in your joy. It's not beat down by the world. And so you wake up like, Lord, today is your day. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Instead of, I know a lot of people wake up in the morning and they're like, oh, another day.
Hmm. Yeah, what do they call that? The alarm clock or the opportunity clock when it goes off? Like,
sure.
Good God, it's morning, or good morning, God.
Yeah, I mean, my little son sings, you know, all the time the song that they learned at BFF. Good morning, God, this is your day. I am your child, show me your way.
Hmm.
I mean, what a game changer that would be if we woke up in the morning and we said, like a child. And by the way, Jesus says we should have childlike faith. But we woke up like a child and we said, Lord, I'm your kid. Show me how you want me to go today. Show me what you want to do. Show me what we get to do together. Because this praise that the psalmist is writing about, yeah, this praise doesn't happen in a vacuum apart from the Lord. This praise happens with the Lord. I mean, we enter into, anytime we praise God, we enter into the worship that's been happening since, you know, way back in the beginning. You know, the heavenly choruses around the throne, praising and crying out his name, holy, holy, holy. And so when we begin to praise God, we're entering and joining the heavenly choruses that have been praising him for eternity, for all time.
Yeah, and I see where this new song, I was writing down a couple little notes, like it's almost like anticipatory, like he's proven himself faithful, so we don't just have to look back and rehash old things. He's doing new things. He wants to do new things this very day, and so we praise him with, like you said, a freshness or an excitement, like what's the Lord going to do today? I can't wait to see. So let's sing him a new song.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, and the psalmist here says, shout for joy. You know, and so the shout of joy is resounding. And there is nothing more when I think about it. You know, there's two kind of like really powerful emotions. And one I think is just kind of this sadness, you know, this kind of sadness that I see in the world. And everybody wants to just jump on that bandwagon and go, oh, everything's horrible. Oh, I know how you feel, brother. But I also know that when somebody comes in the room and they're joyful, it's infectious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody begins to smile and somebody begins to laugh, we had some friends over at our house the other night, Saturday night, and one person started laughing, and pretty soon everybody was laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I felt like weights were being unloaded, like people were just joyful. And I think that joy is infectious, but, you know, it means that you might live apart from the crowd for a while because everybody really likes being unhappy
yeah.
sometimes.
Yeah, misery loves company, we say.
Oh, totally. Totally. So you might be a loner for a while, but you're going to be a loner for the Lord, who's going to be crying out for joy. And trust me, it usually takes longer. I saw this video. It was really kind of a funny video a number of weeks ago. Somebody forwarded it to me. And it was at like a big music festival. And so the band is playing at this big music festival, and people are all sitting on the lawn. I mean, thousands of people are sitting on the lawn. And there's this one, like, lone, crazy person who's standing up, and they're just dancing, like, just dancing. And at first, when you watch the video, Mark, you think, this person is such an idiot. Like, the way they're dancing, you just think, like, oh, my gosh. Like, somebody needs to tell their friend to sit down because he looks silly. And the video is about 5 minutes long, and for the first 2.5 minutes, you're watching this one guy dancing, and you're starting to feel bad for him. And then at about 2 minutes and 55 seconds, another guy gets up and starts dancing with him. And then at 3 minutes and 20 seconds, another guy gets up and starts dancing with him. And from 2 minutes and 50-something seconds to the 4 minute and 50 second or 5 minutes that the video is, pretty soon there's hundreds of people up dancing. And so the joy that one person was experiencing as he was dancing, and for a long time, maybe almost looking foolish, at some point the tide began to turn, and at some point joy began to win the day.
Hmm.
And pretty soon there were hundreds of people who were saying, I want to be that joyful also. Because joy conquers misery. And so we have to find that joy. But listen, joy also sits beside misery because it knows when we're miserable or when we are plagued by misery, that the Lord walks with us through that.
Hmm.
David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that there are times in this world where there are valleys and there are shadows. But he also says, the Lord is my shepherd and he's with me. And in that psalm, I think that David begins to find a joy. In fact, he says, my cup overflows. I am going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so David has this perspective shift in the middle of a valley, in the middle of a shadow. Who knows what that was? Was that his enemy trying to kill him? Because that happened all the time. Or him hiding out in a cave? Because that happened times. Different things that he struggled with. But what always brought him from the shadow and the valley and the misery was knowing that the Lord was with him. And David ended then all of a sudden on this joyful note. What do you think, Mark? Come on.
Hey, let me put a little disclaimer out here in case you're just tuning in and you're saying, you know, Jason, I love what he has to say and share, but it's maybe not as clear as usual. Yes, because of circumstances and scheduling and where I needed to be, I'm calling Jason onto his cell phone from the home studio, the old studio where you'd hear us for the last 20 or so years. And I called him up, and just moments ago I said, hey, Jason, I'm going to read from Psalm 33, and then we began the program. So you had no show prep to talk about this passage or what we were going to even talk about. But I do want to point out verse 4. I want to get your take on it, because I think we can have that joyful mindset. We can shout for joy. We can praise the Lord because of the truth of verse 4. What do you think on that?
Well, yeah, I think the goodness and truth of God's word is a reason for us to praise him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, God does his work in truth. Jesus says, your word is truth. Jesus said that the Bible says that the pillar and foundation of the church is God's word, is God's truth. And so I think that God's truth is reason to praise.
Yeah.
And not to mention, when we open the Bible and we read about it, what do we find out? We find out what God is like. And I don't know, you know, those people who are married or who are dating, who are listening, would know that one of the most joyful things that happens to you in a relationship is when you begin to learn more and more new things about the person who you're spending time with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's in friendships, too. But all of a sudden you go like, whoa, I didn't know that about them. Oh, my gosh, I never saw that before. And the Bible is living and active. And so there's so many times that I'm reading God's word, and all of a sudden I'm going, I didn't know that about God, or I had forgotten that. Oh, I needed to see that again. I needed to know that. And the interesting thing is in our human relationships, we see that and we kind of go, oh, gosh, that's so great. When we read God's word, it comes to us on an even deeper level because it's always rooted in God's love for us, a love that transcends what we can even understand or ask or imagine. And so when we read the Bible and we hear about the way that God is, we know that is always for us.
Yeah. His word is right. His word is true. And then the capper, He's faithful in all he does, referring to God, that we can trust in him, we can put our faith in him, we can rely on him. He's faithful and true and righteous. And that's the next verse, verse 5. The Lord loves righteousness and justice, and the earth is full of his unfailing love. So that caps it off even more, that because of God's love that's been extended to all of us, and as we will be celebrating Easter this next week, here's just kind of a psalm. The psalmist is just praising God and recognizing he's righteous, he's just, but he's loving, he's true, he can be counted on, he's faithful in all he does, and he fills the earth with his unfailing love, and he's demonstrated that over and over again, but demonstrated it maybe to the greatest degree possibly known through the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus did on our behalf.
Isn't it interesting that unlike us, unlike humans, God's words are never empty. Mm-hmm. God never just fills the air full of words for the sake of speaking, like we do so often. We get nervous, we don't know what to do, or maybe we're just talking.
Yeah.
But God never says anything for no reason.
Or
God's
even
words are never empty.
Yeah, or we're full of ourselves, and so we're just pontificating, yeah, if you will.
Yeah, and so because God's words are never empty, his word and his works are inseparable. Because what God says is always tied to what God does. You know, it's like you can read when God says something, you know it's because he is intending to do something. And that's what the whole of the Old Testament is. If we read these Psalms in the Old Testament, the whole of the Old Testament was about him doing something, and that was sending the Lord Jesus Christ to us to be amongst us. But not only just to be amongst us, I mean, that warms our heart, and that's so wonderful to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But the incarnation, Jesus coming as a baby, was the provision. Him going to the cross was the proof. Him going to the cross proved that all that God said in the Old Testament was true, that all the promises were going to be true, that there would be healing in his wings when the Son of Righteousness is lifted up. You know, just as Moses was lifted up the staff in the desert, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And so all of a sudden, all of that, so you had the provision in the incarnation, but you had the proof that none of those words that God spoke were empty, that they all were moving to that moment. And that moment was because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever might believe in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. And so God just doesn't speak for no reason. God speaks for a reason.
Yeah.
And that reason is always for us.
By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. That's why I was thinking when I was planning for this Creation Museum and the Ark experience, and I think we have about 5 or 7, you know, seats left, or I don't know, the bus is getting close to filling up, but that the Lord created it all just through the, you know, the word of the Lord, or through his breath, it just all came into being.
Yeah,
I didn't mention this on the front end, but Joey Kroll, I haven't had an update today, but last night he was heading to the hospital, that appendicitis, that illness he had, there was an infection, and he's been sick and feeling ill earlier this week. And so I think he thought he was going to be staying overnight in the hospital, and then maybe further tests today to get that infection out of him. So please be praying up Joey Kroll today in the days ahead, because he suffered some last week and he wasn't available for the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. And I think we're going to give him the day off again tomorrow, just because he'll need to heal up, and he still may be even in the hospital.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know where all the listeners are at right now. Some might be in their house listening, sitting at the kitchen table, drinking a cup of coffee. Some might be on the way to work, and some might be just getting home from work if they're listening to the re-airing at 7:32 p.m. But would all of you join me as we pray for our brother Joey? Father, we come before you because we love you, and we know that the safest place for our brother Joey is in our prayers and in your hands. And so, Father, we just pray right now that you would bring the full weight of all of your graces upon his situation. Father, all your practical graces, the doctors and the medicine and the hospital and all those things, the gifts that you've given us medically to be able to treat our bodies. But, Father, we stand upon the miraculous things that only you can do, your miraculous grace. And, Father, we just pray that the whole weight of that for Joey's family, Father, we pray for the comfort for Aubrey and for their kids right now as dads in the hospital. We pray that you'll bring people around them to provide for them, to encourage them. And Father, we thank you most of all that you've given us Jesus, that whatever situation we're in, that we have a great hope, a great encouragement. Mm. And so, Father, we just pray that you would pour that out upon Joey and his family, if they're struggling or if they're just frustrated. Mm. Father, that you would lift them up by your grace and that you would instill in them a fresh new hope. Father, we pray for our brother Joey, for Aubrey, for their family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And all of God's people said, oh, do you hear that, Jason? Throughout East Central Illinois, West Central Indiana, in fact, with streaming audio, I think I hear Stu saying amen. I know he always encourages us with a word or some from the morning program, and people maybe even throughout the world that tune in, or others that have appreciated Joey Kroll's role with this radio ministry. In fact, next month, the April edition of the Prime Life Times, Joey's going to launch a new series of articles called The Wayside Chapel, like a little devotional thought or something that will come to his mind. I said, Joey, write it in such a way it's just like your morning program on Thursday, where it's, you know, it's biblically based. I think it'll be receptive by maybe somebody that doesn't follow Jesus, and yet it doesn't stray from the truth, yet it presents God's word clearly, and yet, I don't know whether they say, like, it's a velvet brick where, you know, you hit them with the truth, but you do it in a gentle or a softer way.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I forget how they call that, but that'll be launched next month. And I think we're looking at our final proofs for the April edition. And yet there's still a lot of people picking up the March edition of the Prime Life Times. So it's been interesting to see how many people have loved the new content and the things we're doing with it. So, oh, lots happening, and I might have an announcement on Monday or Tuesday. The Texas Roadhouse approached me and said, we can have a special, like 10% of all the costs of dinner will be donated to the station if you want to pick out a special night. And so we're working on maybe a night in April, maybe a Monday night in April, where anyone that goes to the Texas Roadhouse, 10% of their dinner tab would be donated to the station. So I'll have more to say about that in a couple of days once that gets worked out, but we're thinking April 30th. It'll be the last Monday in April, so we'll see. Who knows? But never a dull moment here, right?
Never, ever a dull
moment. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.